get myself ready here. We're going to take a little break from Daniel. This morning I'm going to kind of share a little bit of the ministry that Judy and I are in, and also, again, remind us of Thanksgiving, you know, what's coming up. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together. Lord, we are reminded, just our Savior, our Jesus, oh, how we love you. Just what you have done for each one of us here who believe that we have salvation, that we have a relationship with the Holy God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the only sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could meet the demands of a holy God. We thank you, Lord. Just pray for this time. I pray, Father, that you would just give me the words to say. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for my family, the brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning. Just pray that you can be with us as we go on this week, as we are with family and friends. So just pray, Father, that we might be a blessing to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last time I was up here, I want to just kind of follow up, because the last time I was up here doing Daniel 6, I'd share a story of this huge potential legal issue with my financial customer. I just want to kind of update you, everyone. You know, there was a document left out of this package, and it was mailed to, I think, 3 or 5 million people. I wanted to show you the document that was left out. It's a terms and conditions. This is the package. It's a terms and conditions. And if you receive this offer from this financial institution, these are the terms and conditions of accepting that card. This is a terms of conditions for accepting a card for American Express. So if you accept an American Express card, these are all the terms and conditions that you have to agree on for accepting. And there was a concern. One of these was not in the package, and you can understand the legal ramifications of that, because in this world of litigation, suing, everyone was panicking. And I'm just so thankful that we checked all our quality control packages, and they weren't, they were all good. I say this, again, this is just kind of a part of my world. I say this because this world is out for the easy money, right? I'll give you a good example. This happened just a few years back. Red Bull, it's an energy drink, they were faced with a litigation for their slogan, Red Bull Gives You Wings, which was deemed misleading. The company settled a classroom lawsuit for $13 million. They had to settle for $13 million because that slogan, Red Bull Gives You Wings, people were suing them because, hey, where's my wings? True story. Where's my wings? I want, you know, if I drink this drink, I want to be able to have wings and have all these capabilities. And so they were sued. So, again, it was $13 million. They ended up, if you purchased a Red Bull from the year 2014 to 2002, it gave you $10 back. But that all equaled to $13 million. It's so, you know, marketing is so deceitful. So Red Bull decides, all right, we like the slogan. So you know what? We're going to say Red Bull gives you wings. Instead of spelling wings as W-I-N-G-S, it's W-I-I-I-N-G-S. So no one can sue them now. Because what is wings? It's not a word. But it's still communicated to the people that Red Bull gives you wings. So they can't be sued for that. But they were sued for $13 million because they said wings. W-I-N-G-S. Anyways, that's just a thought. And so I was nervous about the terms and conditions not being in there, because there's always someone out there that goes through this, and they have been sued. There's been litigations that, you know, it says you're offered 10,000 points, and there might be a misspelling, and it says you are given 1 million points. Well, they sued. They went to litigation, and they got that 1 million points. Anyways, that's just a sidebar. So this morning, I kind of wanted to share with you just a brief report of what's happening with the Bridges Ministry. And this is the International Students at Illinois Institute of Technology, where Judy and I have been working for the last 4 months, but the last 6 months we've come every week to the community hour. You know, as Dale would say, as you would imagine, there's a lot of individual micro stories, and we meet with them on Fridays, and we have a lot of opportunities to share with them in a group setting and also one-on-one. We build relationships with them, and you know, all topics are discussed. But Dale, again, going back to Dale, would say the mega story of God's redemption is shared with them in many different ways. Let's see if I can get this. Oh, turn on. Oh, it's not working, honey. Can you just hit the... Judy, can you hit the... Go. Sorry, guys. Can you... Judy, can you hit advance? Yeah, it was working, but now it's not. Sorry. Let me turn it on. Here we go. Oh, no, didn't go. Let me just get this. Let me get this fixed. This is important. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Go ahead, go to the next slide. There we go. Very good. So these are the kids, or they're not kids, I call them kids, but they're young adults. These are all master's and PhD students from India, from China, from Taiwan, from Botswana, from Ghana, from Singapore, and a couple from Iran. And I'm sure I'm missing some countries. This picture was taken 2 weeks ago, and we were celebrating one of the leaders' birthday. I'm just so thankful that Northwest is involved in this ministry through your prayers and supports. You know, we serve dinner every Friday night, an average 40, 50 students. Dinners are provided by the leaders and also support from individuals and churches. I'm thankful that Northwest will support 4 dinners for 2026. And we're also thankful that through Judy's grant writing, we received a from Stewart's Ministry supporting funds for 2026. And what a blessing. We are so thankful for this gathering. We go to the next slide. This is our small groups. So after dinner, we'll break up into groups of 10 to 8, depending on how many people are there. The picture on the right is the small group I happen to be in that evening. So we talk, you know, we go into discussion 45 to 1 hour, talking about the Bible lesson or the Bible verse that we will go over. And there's many skeptics. They come from many different backgrounds. But they ask good questions. They're very insightful questions that they want clarified. And, you know, there's also seekers that are questioning what they had believed in the past to the teaching of the gospel and what Jesus has done. Now, again, I think I've shared this with you before, but there's a PhD student who said to me during our small groups, said, you know, as a Hindu, I know what I have to do if I sin. I would visit the temple and do these ceremonial things, but I'm really intrigued by this word redemption. I would like to know more about this word. So there's all these discussions, conversations that we have with them. And again, these are all master's and PhD students. Actually, if you look at them, the young man on the very left, he's from Tehran. We were actually supposed to go to dinner with him tonight, but he's not feeling well. But he's a PhD student, and actually he was offered a faculty job at IIT. He's just one of those uber intelligent person, but there's something missing in his life. You know, he has all these things. He loves his family back in Tehran, but he knows what's going on in the world and how, you know, there's no peace. So we're looking forward to having more discussions with them. The other picture with Judy, those are ladies from the Chicago Kent College of Law. They're all from China. The one closest to Judy, she's actually in her 50s. And in China, you are forced to retire when you hit 50 years old as a female. Because there's just so many jobs, they want to make sure that there's enough jobs for all these people. So she actually is 50 plus, so she decides to come to the U.S. to study law, to pass the Illinois bar or the California bar. Those are the two main ones that they would love to pass. And I think she just took her Illinois bar like last week, so there she's waiting for the results. But they're also, you know, alone, and we have this great opportunity to be with them. Can you go to the next slide? These are some of the micro stories. These two young men, I invite them to the steak dinner. You know, there's a minority of Christians that go to the community group, and these two young men are two of them. The one in blue, Reul, his father was on a team that helped translate the first parallel Urdu English New Testament in Pakistan. It's like, what? You know, I talked to him. He's a minority, obviously, as a Christian living in Pakistan. He's a student studying master's in biology, and I've gotten to know him very well. And so his aim is to get his master's in biology and possibly go into some kind of medical research and go back to Pakistan. The other gentleman is Kesego, a Botswanan student. He is studying his master's in computer science. He shared with me that he worked with the youth program back in Botswana in the church. So, you know, you have these gems, and they're great young men. Really enjoyed having time with them. And I just showed you the picture. That's the first parallel Urdu-English New Testament that Reul's father helped work on. We'll go to the next one. Then there's the seekers. You know, I could have taken so many more pictures. I could have had pictures with Judy. The ladies love Judy because they just, you know, they can talk to her. And so I could, that's another half hour that I can talk about. But these are some of the boys, young men, that I've had the privilege of getting to know. Din Huan, he's Chinese, it's just Din Huan and I. He's a student from Beijing, China. He's studying law at the Chicago Kent College of Law. He has so many questions about Christianity. He's so, coming from studying law, he has all these intricate questions, and you know, he has so many insecurities because of his background, whether it was his father as an atheist, his aunt being a Buddhist, and then his grandfather, I believe, believed in in Confucianism. So there's a lot of things in his mind that he wants to try to find what the answer is. I had a good time with him because I actually helped him buy a coat. So we actually went to the Aurora outlet. So I had 3 hours one-on-one with him, and we had some good talks. And just Friday night, he was in my group, and he said, "You know, I don't get this." We were talking about the Good Samaritan. "I don't understand this. You're telling me that I should forgive someone that hurt me? I've never heard of that before. I want this." And so the conversations are raw and real. So pray for him. He's going back to Beijing in December, and he's hoping to be able to come back sometime to continue his studies here in the U.S. The one on the far right, Jerry's the one in the middle. Sorry, Jerry's the one in the middle. He graduated with his master's in computer science. He's heading back to Taipei from Taiwan. That's where he's from. He's a seeker. We've had many good conversations with him. The gospel was proclaimed to him. We're just praying that the Holy Spirit would work in his heart. And just like all international students, he's going back to Taipei because he has to do some kind of visa clarification. He's not sure, with all the new laws and the new directives from this current government. There's a lot of uncertainty among international students. Alex, who is in the far right now, he's a student from China. He graduated with his master's in computer science. And just three weeks ago, he went up to two of the leaders and said, "I have Christ in me, and everything is different." Those were his exact words. "I have Christ in me, and everything is different." The gospel, the time at community hour, the relationships that the leaders spent time with these young men and women, lives are being changed. Right here in Chicago, I like the Bridges International logo. It says, "The nations here and now." They're here. We don't have to go to Asia. We don't have to go to Africa. They're here now. And we have this opportunity to share the gospel with them, because if the Lord gets hold of their hearts and their lives, they go back to families that are not Christians. So we got to pray for them. But they're also going to be the light in that family to share the good news of the gospel. You can go to the next slide. So that's as far a report from the Bridges. As we head into Thanksgiving, I thought I'd give a short message on being thankful in Thanksgiving. But before that, I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit's guidance for the speakers that we've had in the last few months. I take my notes and I look them over, and it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit has guided the men who come to this pulpit and share with us these truths that they fit so well together in my mind. In September, we had John Jimmel. You remember his messages were in 1 Thessalonians, and he said, "Be encouraged." That was the phrase he shared with us. Be encouraged. In light of, in 1 Thessalonians, the coming of Christ, I wrote down one of his phrases that he shared. "We are to live with eager expectation of Christ's return, and this will motivate us to live properly." We are to live with eager expectation of Christ's return, and this will motivate us to live properly. Then he shared the verse with us from 1 John 2, verse 28. It says, "Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." It motivates us to live properly. And then we have, in October, we had J.J. Routley, who shared with us Hezekiah's life, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 20. And what I got from out of there is, you know, living well, but finishing poorly, is not how we want to end our lives. You remember the 2 weeks he spent with us. Living well, but finishing poorly. That was kind of really convicting. So the first week he talked about Hezekiah at the age of 39, and he was going to die. John says, Hezekiah shows how to live rightly before the Lord during a crisis situation in our life. Shows how to live rightly before the Lord during a crisis situation in our life. As you remember, he was faced with his death, but then he went to the Lord. And Yahweh was gracious and merciful to him and extended his life. But unfortunately, what happens at the end didn't go well for him. As J.J. said, falling short from God's expectation, warning of confidence and pride. That's what happened to Hezekiah. He was doing well, but in the end, his pride and his own confidence in himself was his downfall. J.J. shared, "Our pride has such a far-reaching effect to our future. Hezekiah's pride will affect his children and generations after his decision." You know, it's such a stark warning of finishing well. Also, he said that Hezekiah's core character is, why not let the future generations deal with bad decisions I made today? That's just sad. Why not let the future generations deal with the bad decisions I made today? We have to finish well. And dispersed in all of this, we continue our study in Daniel. Remember, in Daniel chapter 6, at the age of 80, again, finishing well, that whole, so relevant, finishing well. He was living a consistent, courageous life committed to his convictions. He finished well. Those were the four points that I shared: being consistent, being courageous, being committed, having convictions. And then Josh shared with us that God uses people to bring his message. As Daniel, we have to be humble and clear in our message. And then he also added to that, sometimes the message is not heeded. But we're not responsible for that. Kind of try to put it together. I saw my notes, and John Jim will share this. Our jobs as followers is simply to proclaim the message, clear and direct. Okay, our jobs as followers is simply to proclaim the message of the biblical message of the gospel. We plant the seed, and we water with the word of God. God causes the growth. He forms the root for foundation and branches up to bear fruit. So I just loved how the last 2 months, September, October, November, our speakers, you know, kind of, in at least in my point of view, how they mesh together of how we should live our lives in eager expectation of the return. How we shouldn't, you know, be caught in our pride, that we should finish well. And that, as Daniel, we have to continue to be consistent, courageous, committed in our convictions of what the Word of God says. Finishing well. Well, that was a long introduction. this message to be thankful these next days as we are with family and friends. And I kept this verse up here because, again, you know, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Part of 1 Thessalonians. I don't remember because I wasn't there all 4 weeks, and I don't know if he covered this verse or not. But, you know, we ask ourselves, so what is the will of God for me? Let's be thankful. It's right there. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, John MacArthur, many know, Bible teacher, he said, we should remind ourselves that thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. Okay? We should remind ourselves that thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. And being unthankful is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. That was like convicting. And being unthankful is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 identifies the ungodly with some very direct words. In verse 21, chapter 1, he says, they knew God, that is through conscience and creation. They knew there's a God. God was visibly manifest to them and experientially manifest to them. But even though they knew God through creation and conscience, he says, he continues in that verse, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. So there's people who know God, yet they do not honor him or give thanks to him. Let me read you the whole verse of Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's exactly what he was saying. You know, Billy Graham wrote, ingratitude is a sin. Just as surely as is lying or stealing or immorality or any other sin condemned by the Bible. He added, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. So you can understand why as we will celebrate Thanksgiving Thursday or some, you know, maybe after that with family and friends, you know, as my family here at Northwest, as believers, we've got to remind ourselves to be thankful, even in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Some verses I wanted to share. You know, again, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances. In all circumstances. That's a clause that really could convict someone, because it's easy to say, you know, something good happens. I can be really thankful for that. But what if that's something bad? Something tragic? Another verse, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, reads, instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, for everything. Good, bad, ugly, tragic, all circumstances. In Colossians 3:15, it reads, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. And be thankful in all circumstances. Like I said, how can I give thanks in everything? I don't feel like praising God for this situation. What possible good can come from this tragic circumstance? And I love I forgot the speaker that I was listening to, the sermon I was listening to. I love this. This point was, when we question and doubt what's happening, this is when Thanksgiving becomes an exercise of faith. Let me read that. Let me say that again. When we question and doubt the circumstance, this is when Thanksgiving becomes an exercise of faith. Because, well, let me read it to you. Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, there it is again, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him. Now, at that moment, we might not understand. I don't get it. How could this happen? Well, we see examples of that in Scripture. One example of that is Paul in prison, right, with Silas in Acts 16, verse 22-31. Let me just read that for you. I'll read the verse, but after being beaten, after being put in jail, what good could come out of that? Yet they gave thanks. It reads, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. This is Acts 16, verse 22-31. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, giving thanks. Were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are here. We are all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul's house. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. What good came out of Paul being beaten, flogged, and put in jail? Lives were changed. Verse 34 reads, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Praise God. What good could happen? Why should I give thanks in all circumstances? Another example, and you know, I taught that in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel being from a foreign country, he was a prisoner of war, right? I mean, he was taken as a slave. And then there was a law signed to discriminate and kill him. What good could happen except death to Daniel? Because we read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. In all circumstances, even in the face of death, Daniel gave thanks. So what happened? Yahweh was glorified. A decree for all the people to fear and be reverent of the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Remember, that's what Darius proclaimed to all the people. Why give thanks in all circumstances? And lastly, Jesus at the Last Supper, giving thanks to the Father, knowing that he would be enduring the cross for our salvation. Matthew 26, verse 26 verse 26 to 28 reads, While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Why give thanks? Why go through all this? For our salvation. His love. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm so thankful of our Savior that he was accepted and understood and obedient to the Father to going to the cross so that we could have salvation, so that we can have a relationship with the Holy God. Now, before I end, I'd like us to sing Count Your Blessing. It's 545 in the green hymnal. We'll have the words up. It's not just press. Okay. And I'll pray and close after we finish singing. Let's live with eager expectation of Christ's return, and this will motivate us to live properly. When we question and doubt during hard times, this is when thanksgiving becomes an exercise of faith. Let's give thanks in everything. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for such an amazing love that you have lavished upon each one of us here who believe. Father, we pray as we meet with family and friends this next week that, Father,
with thankfulness, we would share the joy that we have in knowing that we are blessed and we are saved through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was willing. He endured the cross for us, thankfully and with joy. Father, we look at Hebrews where it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifice, God is pleased. Help us, O Lord, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Amen.